Welcome to the Smart Kitchen Show. My name is Michael Wolf, and today's guest is Tiffany Lowe, who is behind a lot of those short-form, quick, great cooking videos you see on Tasty. Earlier in the year, I had read a post about how BuzzFeed's Tasty had become the biggest video publisher in the world, with over 2 billion video views per month. Now, those numbers were pretty astounding, especially for an effort that had started just about a year ago. Tiffany and I talk about how they got started, who watches all these videos, and how they come up with all those crazy recipe ideas. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Now, Tiffany will be in Seattle on October 5th and 6th. She'll be talking about the future food networks. And if you want to hear her and many other smart people talking about the future of cooking, the kitchen, and food media, make sure to get your tickets at smartkitchensummit.com. You can use the discount code podcast to get 10% off. Do it. I'd love to see you in Seattle. All right, let's talk to Tiffany. Welcome to the Smart Kitchen Show. My name is Mike Wolf. The Smart Kitchen Show is a podcast about the kitchen, technology, and food, and the story of a conference that brings all those things together. I'm your host, Michael Wolf, and I put this podcast together because in the process of creating the Smart Kitchen Summit, I've been meeting lots of great folks that I thought you should hear from too. If you'd like to listen to more Smart Kitchen shows, you can find them in iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. The Smart Kitchen Summit will be back in 2016 on October 5th and 6th in Seattle. If you'd like to go, just go to smartkitchensummit.com for more information. And now, on to the show. Hey, I'm excited to have Tiffany Lowe, the senior manager for Tasty and Nifty at BuzzFeed. How are you doing, Tiffany?
Good. How are you?
Great. You'll be up here in Seattle in a couple months for the summit. I'm excited to have you up and hear you talk a little bit about what's going on with Tasty, because you guys are having some eye-popping numbers. I've been watching like the numbers like every month out of those trackers that track video views, and it seems like Tasty is always at the top of the list. Like, can you call yourself like the number one video publisher in the world at this point?
I think statistically we are. It's been pretty crazy to think how far we've come in just a year. We just celebrated a year in late July. So it's pretty amazing to see. Hold on, I want to say that again.
Yeah, the numbers that keep... Okay. I mean, I think you guys did like 1.7 or so, 1.8 billion views, I think, in June. And that, so for people who don't know, Tasty is, I'll probably butcher this. You could probably do a much better job.
Okay.
I think the video site or the food centric site for BuzzFeed, and you help produce the videos for that site.
Yes. I help run the team, that makes the videos for the page. And we have teams all around the world. We have LA is the main Tasty hub, but we also have teams in New York, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Mexico City, Berlin, London. I'm forgetting some places, Tokyo. But we have people all around the world making Tasty videos.
The idea behind geographic centers for the Tasty videos, is it kind of centered around what cuisine you think would people would probably want in specific locales? Or what is the general thinking around that?
In each of those cities, we have offices, so it does make sense to try cuisines in those areas. Yep. We've seen, based on the people or the countries that watch Tasty, that these people are also interested in food. So we've opened up pages for those countries. So food specifically for people of that certain country.
I don't know if this is like, if this was intentional, but it seems like young kids, maybe also millennials, probably love this fast. I don't know how you describe your style, but like it seems like everything's in a minute or so around that target, and it shows you how to cook in a very quick format. And then you also have the recipes that you can get offline. So what is the general format you're aiming for with a Tasty video?
I think we all have the mindset of everyone can cook, and whether that's kids, adults, it doesn't really matter. It's, you know, it's fun, but it's also kind of intimidating for people who don't do it. the way we shoot is like a first person perspective. So you can kind of envision yourself making it. Again, going with the mindset of like anyone can cook. And we were actually seeing that people were posting pictures of their kids making tasty recipes. And we thought like, wow, this is really cool. Why don't we make recipes that involve kids and that parents can make with their kids? So we started a series called Tasty Junior. And one of our producers brings in her son and makes these videos. And they're, I think it's just awesome that kids are starting to cook at a very young age.
Now, this first-person perspective, when you, now that you mentioned that, it makes a lot of sense. But it's so different than your traditional cooking show, right, where you actually have the camera in front of, like, a counter, watching the guy move around, grab the different bowls. It seems like maybe it's drawing people in more. That was obviously an intentional choice to go first person.
Yeah. I also think that it's a lot easier to see the food. When you do have these traditional cooking shows, you don't really get to see the food. And I know it's kind of like abbreviated version of how to make a dish, but this walks you through, like, beginning to end. And it's very straightforward. So you can all, like, when you look at recipes online, you see it written out, and sometimes it's unclear of how to do things. So this is a cool way to show visually how to do something and the steps you need. So it's basically a visual guide to walking people through a recipe.
And when you think about other video formats for showing how to cook, oftentimes it takes a long time. We're going to walk through cooking this meal, it may take us 20 minutes if it's like a cooking show, which is too long because I would imagine a lot of people are just wanting to use your recipes that night. They're going to Tasty to find out what to cook that night, and you could show them in a minute, and then they have the package of the video plus the recipe. They're ready to go and cook.
You know, when you go online, sometimes when I'm like just cooking at home, I'm looking at recipes and I'm scrolling through a lot of text. And I just want to get to the pictures and the recipe, but then like an ad pops up. And so this way it's like quick. It's right there. It shows you how to do it in like minute and a half the most. And the recipe is there in a link that you can click on in the comments. And it's just like straightforward because, you know, if you've been working all day or you have a family to feed, you just need something quick and you don't want to click through a bunch of things that take you to here and there. So it's accessible.
A minute and a half max, which is not very long. How long does it take to get to that minute and a half or minute? How many days, how much time to shoot one of those?
I think it depends. It depends on the complexity of the recipe. You know, we do, It depends on the recipe. Sometimes a certain recipe will take days to perfect. Other times they're more straightforward and it could be filmed within a couple of hours. So I'd say the average video probably takes maybe like 3 to 4 days.
The precision and the economy of it, pretty amazing. I mean, you're going really fast speed through it, but do you guys have pretty strict requirements on how abbreviated it can be?
We try to convey things visually, and if things are repetitive, we tend to avoid that. You know, if you see something once, you don't necessarily need to show it for like 10 seconds. So when you can convey it, then it's, you know, you can move on to the next step. But most people don't have time or want to watch water boil for 10 seconds. So, you know, you can show the water boil and then get on to the next step. So we try to minimize things we try to minimize text and just show things visually, like, if something has to be a certain texture, we like to do close-ups on that so you can see like, oh, this has to be this type of thickness, or this is the right consistency I need. Because if you don't have that, you know, maybe you have to mix something a little more, or maybe you have to let something simmer. So these are things that are kind of hard to convey just through text in a recipe too.
What is the general process and how do you discover new things to cook? You know, how's that mixed up between people maybe just finding something over the weekend versus like, you know, people sending ideas in? Can you break it out a little bit?
I think every producer is different and has a different mindset when it comes to making food. Some people are focused more on like the everyday weeknight meal that doesn't take a lot, or maybe like the family aspect of like, I have a family of four to feed. What can I make that's quick and cheap? Some people have the mindset of like, I love like making a familiar food and turning it into something new, which is kind of more of like something that you'd make for a party. It's not something that you would make every day. Something like guacamole onion rings. That's not something that you would just go home.
Although I might eat that every day. That sounds pretty good.
Right. So that's kind of more of like an entertainment factor, something that you wouldn't necessarily make on a day-to-day basis. So everyone kind of has their own take on it. And some things stem from like comfort foods that they had growing up, or maybe they got inspired by watching a show or by going out to a restaurant. So ideas vary between producers.
But are the producers coming with a recipe, or are they experimenting almost like in a lab environment to kind of say, let's try this? I mean, is it a matter of like they're coming and they know what they're going to cook, or they're actually experimenting?
It's both. They'll experiment and sometimes they'll come in with a recipe. Like, again, it depends what it is. If it's something more complex, like maybe churro bowls. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No. I watched the Blooming Potato one just today. That looked pretty good.
Okay, yeah. But like something like churro bowls is one of our big hits. And it was a cool, innovative way to transform a churro, which is traditionally just like this, you know, long stick. And so the producer and our food coordinator turned a muffin pan upside down and used the churro batter and swirled it around the muffin tin and then froze it and then fried it that way. So then at the end of the process, you have this churro bowl that fits ice cream and is this new way of eating this thing that is traditionally just seen in one way. So something like that, they'd like came up with this concept, but they took a number of days testing that out. So some things like, we do this format called Four Ways. So it's just like, for example, we did spaghetti four ways. So spaghetti is very basic, but, so it was cool because it was shown in four different ways to eat it other than just like the traditional, like marinara and meat sauce. And so, you know, there's a million recipes for spaghetti. So it was like taking a basic recipe and figuring out different ways and different flavor combos to pair that with.
So you're kind of hacking a little bit just the traditional meals and trying to come up with a different approach. And it sounds like a lot of that's actually happening almost in like, I don't know if you have like a lab environment or whatever, but that's what you're trying to get at. You're trying to hack it and kind of come up with a different approach.
Yeah. I think, you know, people do want to try new things. And, you know, if every time you have spaghetti and meatballs, it gets kind of boring, you want to figure out how to spice it up. So, you know, if it is something traditional like that, we do like to try to think of new ways for people to eat that.
I don't know about you, but like, I'm not creative enough to say, okay, I want to turn upside down a muffin bowl and do a churro bowl. So are these people who you're bringing in who have some sort of culinary background, have kind of proved themselves as culinary or cooking adventurers? How are you getting these people to come up with these ideas?
Our team is filled with a mix of different people. We do have some people that have gone to culinary school and have worked for restaurants and catering companies. We also have people that went to school for film and who have no culinary experience, but are big foodies and love to cook. So the team is a hybrid of both.
Which is probably what you need to kind of come up with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, because it's important to have food that tastes good, that looks good, that people are actually going to want to make at home. And, you know, BuzzFeed is an entertainment company, internet company. So we do still want to make fun, entertaining videos. And so we're combining food with, like entertainment, and we're making it into tasty videos.
When you guys started talking about tasty, and I don't know if you're there at the very beginning, was the idea, okay, we want to do something centered around food, but do a different approach? We have to do like a BuzzFeed approach. Were you there? What was kind of the genesis of this idea of these quick fast consumable videos. I'd love to hear a little bit of the origin story if you can.
Yeah, so our editorial team that mostly writes posts on the website started experimenting over a year ago of just taking videos on their iPhone or filming videos on their iPhone of making recipes, and that started sharing really well. And so we're like, oh, hey, we make videos. We should also try this out. So we started experimenting. I think BuzzFeed has also been known to do hacks. Like that's kind of...
That's Jonah's background. That's what Jonah does.
Right. Yeah. So that's a really like old BuzzFeed format. So back in the day, before Tasty started, we were doing recipe videos, like a compilation, kind of like a... like a beginning origins of our four ways formats. But yeah. I did some old videos of like four Nutella hacks, you know, which were essentially just a way of saying four Nutella recipes.
Yeah.
So we started doing those back in the day and eventually it evolved and we saw that there's a lot of interest in that. And that's kind of how it led into Tasty. And we're like, oh, people are really interested in these food videos. Why don't we just make a page full of food content? That's a short story.
No, that's good. In the kind of the oral history of Tasty, that's kind of a good abbreviated version. So the views, we talked a little bit about how eye-popping your views are, but I was thinking about when I watch one, when I'm cooking something, I'll watch it multiple times. Do you have any sort of understanding of how many times like someone, when they're cooking something, will watch one video?
I think it varies. Maybe they'll watch it the first time and say, oh, this is really cool. Like, I want to save it for later. And then maybe when they're thinking about what to make for dinner or over the weekend, they look at it again. And then they also look at the recipe. I don't necessarily know how many times people are watching the same recipe over again. But I can imagine if someone intends on making the recipe, maybe a few times at least.
Yeah. And do you have a feel for who the typical Tasty viewer is? I mean, I know my kids love it. You know, I've used it as well. I would imagine that millennials are probably right in the sweet spot and even younger. I mean, do you have a feel for that?
I think it's, like you said, millennials and young working adults and families, parents, I think are our main audience. We also have a pretty big global audience as well.
So when you talk about global, I know you mentioned you have, I think you have Europe, you have Japan. How many people, I mean, is the bulk of the watching in the U.S. or is it like pretty evenly distributed? What are some other big geographies for you?
I believe half of the audience is in the U.S. So it is kind of split, but most of the people who watch the videos are English speakers. But we do have a big audience like in Mexico, the U.K., Canada, and even some Asian countries, which is kind of surprising, but really cool to see that.
Well, I mean, it's such a visual language, right? I mean, if you look at the video, you really almost don't need to speak a language. You can just see how it's made. I mean, you may need some, a recipe at some point, but you don't have any narration really. So I can see why.
Right. And I think that other countries are very fascinated with American food too. You know, we mostly do American food, but American food is kind of just taking a lot of different different countries' food and kind of morphing it into our own, I guess.
Yeah, we're just taking all the good stuff they do and kind of trying to mix it all together.
Yeah, pretty much.
Adding more sugar and fat to it.
Right. That's the American way.
No. Now, you guys, I know that my understanding is the bulk of the views are through Facebook, right? Even though you guys have a pretty high traffic site. Are the majority of people consuming it through Facebook?
Yeah, a majority of our audience is through Facebook. I think the format, like we talked about, like short, quick videos with the first-person perspective tend to do better on Facebook. If you think about different platforms, something like YouTube, people go there to watch longer content. So it's not the same for Facebook. For Facebook, you know, if you're looking on your phone, you're kind of just scrolling through your feed. You don't really spend a ton of time on any certain thing. You know, you read a post, Maybe you watch a video that someone shares, or you read someone's statuses, or you look at pictures. So it kind of fits into how users use Facebook.
Like, my kids learn how to do everything you've seen for a while from YouTube. The, mm-hmm. whether my son wants to learn how to play a new video game, my daughter wants to learn how to play, guitar. They go to YouTube, and it seemed like cooking was one of those things. But I don't know if you guys have kind of hit on something new, or just like you're talking about the short format. I think there is something to this short video view format that kind of works well with Facebook.
Yeah, and I think that millennials are like, as technology has evolved in social media, people also have a shorter attention span. Yeah. And I've kind of found that to be true with myself. Sometimes I see a video, it's 2 minutes. I'm like, it's 2 minutes.
2 minutes? What is this? I don't have all day.
Yeah, but you think about it, yeah. And it's just like, yeah. It's only 2 minutes. But, you know, the way we consume content is so fast these days.
But Facebook is actually, according to, you know, a lot of young folks, it's an old person's social network. And I notice you guys do the full videos on Twitter as well as Instagram. How are those channels doing? Are those growing? And do you see any difference between the audiences for those channels?
I know we're trying to grow our Instagram account. And the fact that now you can upload videos up to a minute is great, because people can watch a lot of tasty videos without us having to cut it down. So I think that's definitely a great place for people to also watch videos and to consume tasty videos. And we are trying to actively grow the Instagram page, and as well as Twitter and Vine as well.
Instagram went to a minute not all that long ago, and that would make a huge difference for you guys. And you guys, I would imagine, with each post, you put the recipe within the post itself?
Yes, we do.
I would imagine that channel would grow over time. I mean, I just know that my kids both use Instagram, and it just seems like makes more sense for young kids. But that's just me guessing as an old person.
Yeah, before, I think Instagram, you can only upload 15 seconds.
Yeah, which isn't enough, really. That's a lot of economy.
Yeah, we did have to cut it down to fit 15 seconds, and sometimes that is challenging, obviously, to condense like a minute recipe into 15 seconds. And that's kind of, you know, if you're watching 15 minutes of a recipe, that's kind of more purely for a entertainment factor and not necessarily like practical, as opposed to like watching a whole video, seeing how it's made.
It's almost like the recipe trailer. Like, it's like, you know, they're showing what the recipe instruction would look like, but not really giving it enough.
Right. And we also do videos for Vine, and that is 6 seconds.
Oh my gosh. You actually, wow.
Yeah. So that is,
that's definitely crazy. The trailer. That's definitely the trailer. That's not enough.
Yeah. Right. So that is more challenging.
What about Pinterest? I don't think you could do video with Pinterest, but are you guys using that channel at all?
We don't post videos to that. We do post the recipe links to it, and it links to our TheBuzzFeed.com post, which has a recipe in it.
You're coming up to Seattle to talk about the Future Food Network. When I look at how people find out about new recipes, discover meals to make, it's rapidly changing. I mean, we just did a survey, and there's actually a surprising amount of people that still use cookbooks. Mm-hmm. But a huge number of people are using apps, are going to recipe websites, and using video like Tasty. I mean, when you kind of look towards the future, are you guys thinking about how you can meet the needs of people over time? Do you guys obviously are riding a wave here of something interesting. How do you think things could change around food discovery, recipe discovery over time?
Yeah, I think also just being at BuzzFeed, we're constantly evolving. The internet is constantly evolving. I think cookbooks will always be around. We do have to, you know, think about, like, now there are a lot of people making food videos in the same style as we're making. So we're always constantly looking ahead to new ways to present things and new platforms to make content for. So, I mean, it's rapidly changing, so I can't really say, like, how we're thinking about that. But we do always try to push forward and make sure that, you know, we are thinking about other ways to expand Tasty.
I was talking to a guy who runs a large food company this week, and I told him that I think food companies will have to become content companies. And I, mm-hmm. I think that's the same for hardware guys as well. Have you guys, I would imagine you guys have had companies reach out to you, say, hey, we love what you're doing. I mean, are you getting a lot of companies who are not necessarily content producers saying, hey, we want to use your content?
Oh, do you mean brands or do
brands,
you mean,
appliance yeah. makers? I mean, because when you think about how people are going to cook on their hardware or using their food, if you're a food company, they're going to start with you guys or they're going to start with other people creating content.
Right. And we do. We actually have a Tasty team that's dedicated to making content for brands, whether that's appliances or food companies that make we do have a team dedicated to making content for brands, just everything from food to appliances to auto companies.
Got it. And you're working more on kind of the straight editorial side.
Yeah, I work mostly on the editorial side, but I do collaborate with the branded site sometimes.
Hey, well, Tiffany, thanks for taking time with me.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Smart Kitchen Show is brought to you by Technology.fm, Next Market Insights, and the Smart Kitchen Summit. All the music for today's show is created by Paul Tyan, T-Y-A-N. Check him out on SoundCloud. You can now find The Smart Kitchen Show on iTunes or just go to smartkitchensummit.com/show. For season 2, we hope to bring you lots more stories and different conversations and mix up the format a little bit. So stay tuned. And if you want to come to Smart Kitchen Summit, you know where to go, smartkitchensummit.com.